Chapter 5. To the Directors. What will bring prosperity? I have been instructed by the Lord in regard to some things connected with the Office of Publication in Oakland, California. I saw that financial embarrassment was causing distress of mind and having a tendency to weaken the courage of those who bear heavy responsibilities. Many prayers are offered that God will work in giving prosperity to the office. I was shown that the Lord will work when the workers will cooperate with Him. When the souls of the workers are knit with Christ, the power of God will be manifest among them. There has been a decided lack of faith. The world is deluged with books that might better be consumed than circulated. Books upon Indian warfare and similar topics, published and circulated as a money-making scheme, might better never be read by the youth. There is a satanic fascination in such books. The heart-sickening relation of crimes and atrocities has had a bewitching power upon many youth, exciting them to see what they can do to bring themselves into notice, even by the wickedest deeds. Even the enormities, the cruelties, the licentious practices, portrayed in more strictly historical writings, have acted as leaven in many minds, leading to the commission of similar acts. Books that delineate the satanic practices of human beings are giving publicity to evil works. These wicked, horrible particulars need not be lived over, and none who believe the truth for this time should act a part in perpetuating the memory of them. There is another class of books, love stories, frivolous tales, that are a curse to everyone who reads them, and this, although the author may attach a good moral. Often religious sentiments are woven all through these books, but in most cases, Satan is but clothed in angel robes to deceive and allure the unsuspicious. The mind is affected in a great degree by what it feeds upon. The readers of frivolous and exciting tales become unfitted for the duties lying before them. They live an unreal life and have no desire to search the Scriptures, to feed upon the heavenly manna. The mind that needs strengthening is enfeebled and loses its power to contemplate the great problems which relate to the mission and work of Christ, the plan of salvation. These subjects will fortify the mind, awaken the imagination, and kindle the strongest desire to overcome as Christ overcame. The youth must take heed what they read, as well as what they hear. I have been shown that they are exposed to the greatest peril of being corrupted by improper reading. Could a large share of the books published be consumed, a plague would be stayed that is doing its fearful work upon human minds and corrupting human hearts. Satan is constantly seeking to lead both the youth and those of mature age to be charmed with foolish stories. None are so confirmed in right principles, so secure from temptation, that they can feel safe and think no one need feel anxious about them. Resolutely discard all this trashy reading, which will not increase your spirituality, but will introduce into your mind sentiments that captivate the imagination, so that you think less of Jesus and dwell less upon His precious lessons. The office should be regarded as a school for the education of the workers. There is need of personal effort for their uplifting in all that constitutes a noble character. The minds of many of the youth are already sown with the seeds of evil that are ready to spring into life and produce an abundant harvest. Strive to implant pure principles in the soul. Encourage the youth to store the mind with valuable knowledge. Let that which is good occupy the soul and control its powers, leaving no place for low, debasing indulgences. Let the standard of piety and devotion be elevated. Power of a faithful example. By a godly example, those who occupy responsible positions can maintain the elevated character of the office. Not to do this is to incur guilt, to be unfaithful stewards, blameworthy before the heavenly intelligences who are waiting to cooperate with the human agencies in order to save souls. Christians are to shine as lights amid the moral darkness of the world. They are to be representatives of Christ, patterns for all who come within the sphere of their influence. They are exhorted to fidelity and to the highest attainments of piety. The Word of God is plain upon this point. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. In our own lives, we should present to the world an illustration of the holy character of the truth which we profess to believe. This has not been done by many who are connected with the office. An indolent man, occupying a position of trust in our institutions, will make upon many minds an impression unfavorable to the truth. By their fruits ye shall know them. The lights of the world are so to shine that men, by seeing their good works, may be led to glorify our Father who is in heaven. How terrible it is for any who bear his name to give to the world, through a defective character, a distorted image of Christ. They are constantly stumbling blocks. There are those engaged in the work in the office who have no living connection with Christ. Arguments, exhortations, reproofs, correction in righteousness, every consideration urging them to reach a higher standard, is treated with a cool indifference or with silent contempt and persistent resistance. They know nothing of heart consecration. They are satisfied. Their minds have become so debased by their own course that they have no disposition to change. They have no love for anyone but themselves. Shall this state of things continue? Economy and indebtedness. It is true that the publishing house has furnished means to support branches of the work in distant fields and has aided in carrying other enterprises. This is well. None too much has been done. The Lord sees it all. But from the light He has given me, every effort should be made to stand free from debt. This heavy indebtedness is eating into the vitals of the publishing house. Result of unselfishness and sacrifice. Now, if all will go to work unselfishly, with an eye single to the glory of God, humbling their hearts and repenting of their sins, God will work in their behalf. Souls will be converted, and the piety and devotion of the workers will be felt by unbelievers. The only security against failure is to be found in entire surrender to God, daily seeking His counsel in all things, keeping the light burning, and daily reflecting its bright rays to others. Let a work of reformation, deep and thorough, take place in the office. Let there be seen a spirit of self-sacrifice. Expend your means carefully. Cultivate economy. Do not act toward Christ as though you believed the wicked accusations of the unfaithful servant. I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. As you look to the cross of Calvary, inquire, how can I work for the Master? Do not calculate how little you can do to reach the very lowest standard, but arouse to grasp the fullness that there is in Christ, that you may do much for Him. Workers who are not diligent and faithful do incalculable harm. They are setting an example for others. There are those in the office who are rendering wholehearted, cheerful service. But will the leaven not affect them? Shall the office be left without some sincere examples of Christian fidelity? When men claiming to be representatives of Christ reveal that they are unconverted, their characters degraded, gross, selfish, impure, they should be separated from the office, for their moral powers are so perverted and weakened that they cannot be trusted. I know not what I can say to arouse them. Will these sentinels that are sleeping at their post arouse from their death-like slumber and come under the vitalizing influence of the Spirit of God? Will they continue to betray sacred trusts, or will they become missionaries for the Master? Words to the faithful. There are those connected with the office whose hearts are bound up with the work. They see many things that are not as they should be, but know not what course to pursue to correct the evils. They are pained to see many who profess the truth go astray. To all these the Lord sends reproofs and warnings. The straight and narrow way that leads to life, and the glorious reward, are pointed out, and the perfect standard of Christian character is held up before them. Although some are so estranged from God that they do not recognize His voice, though a strange infatuation leads them, in their perversity of heart, to strive against the manifestations of the Spirit of God, let not those who are striving earnestly to do the work and will of God become discouraged. Let each work earnestly, prayerfully, holding his torch in his hand, shedding light upon willing and unwilling eyes. Having their orders from heaven, they are to be true and faithful, in all things representing the compassion of Christ. The consistent religious life, the holy conversation, the unswerving integrity in all business deal, the active, benevolent spirit, the godly example, are the medium through which light is conveyed to the world, and conviction takes hold upon the hearts and consciences of unbelievers. The Lord will work through His human agents if they will cooperate with Him. May the Lord bless you all with wisdom and grace and His peace, is my prayer. North Fitzroy, Victoria, December 1891.